Please.
Yeah.
The Senate will come to order for the 110th Legislative Day. Will members please vote to signify their presence in the chambers? Will members please vote to signify their presence in the chambers now?
The roll shows 19 members present this morning.
We have a sufficient number to conduct business. We have a quorum present. Senator Eliason is this morning's chaplain. Will all please rise for the invocation.
Lord above, unite the hearts of your servants and reveal to us your great purpose. May we follow your commandments and abide in your law. Help us, O Lord, in our endeavors, and grant us strength to serve you. Leave us not to ourselves, but guide our steps by the light of your knowledge, and cheer our hearts with your love. Amen.
Senator Ewing, will you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the certification of the journal, please?
I wish to certify as the correctness of the journal for the 109th Legislative Day.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 109th Legislative Day be approved as certified.
Without objection, the journal for the 109th Legislative Day has been approved by the State Senate. Senator Jones.
And I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread upon the journal.
Without objection, this morning's prayer will be spread on the journal. Senator Fahrenkamp, you look like you're ready to pop up. Introduction of guests. Senator Fahrenkamp.
Thank you, Madam President. I guess all school teachers are very observant. I appreciate that very much. I have today with me a friend and constituent, Walter Johnson. He's the Vice President of Dean Witter Reynolds and our new Borough Assembly member in Fairbanks. Welcome, Walter.
Further introduction of guests, Senator Curtula.
President, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce today two interns that are working in Representative Menard's office this week, and they're sitting next to Carolyn Ryder. It's Carrie Denvrant and Shelley Edwards. They're at Houston High School.
Senator Fisher.
Yes, thank you. The father of one of our pages is here today to check up on, see what he's doing. It's Mike's father, Bob Gerhardt of Kenai.
Senator Hensley.
Thank you. I have two gentlemen I'd like to introduce. Neither of them are related. First of all, I'd like to introduce Dr. David Lewis, who is the skipper of the Hawaiian Tropic Serrano. Dr. Lewis is in the process of sailing to Nome. He's been in Juneau for the past 3 days, trying to acquaint Alaskans with his planned voyage to Western Alaska and also to the Siberian coast. He's a well-known author and explorer, and was the first person to sail solo to Antarctica. I'd like to introduce Dr. David Lewis. Another gentleman, he's a constituent of somebody in Anchorage, but works for me, John Rentz, who is a geologist and vice president for resources for NANA.
Further introduction of guests. Do we have messages from the governor, please?
Message dated April 29, dear Senator Fakes, I am transmitting the following executive orders approved by the second session of the 15th legislature to your office for permanent filing. Executive Order Number 68, transferring the Alaska Business License Program from the Department of Revenue to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development. Executive Order Number 69, reassigning to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs the functions of the Division of Housing Assistance. Executive Order Number 70, transferring the Alaska State Archives from the Department of Administration to the Department of Education. and Executive Order Number 71, merging the statutory responsibilities of the Review Board on Alcoholism and the Advisory Board on Drug Abuse. Sincerely, Steve Cooper, Governor. Message dated April 28, Dear Senator Fakes, on this date I've signed the following bill, and I'm transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 190, Resources, establishing the Point Bridget State Park and providing for an effective date. Chapter Number 23, SLA 1988, sincerely, Steve Cooper, Governor. Message dated April 28, Dear Senator Fakes, on this date I've signed the following bill. Transmitted the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 74, Rules Amended Senate, relating to motor vehicle registration and license plates. Chapter Number 24, SLA 1988, sincerely, Steve Cooper, Governor. Those are the messages from the Governor this morning, Madam President.
Do we have messages from the House of Representatives, please?
Message dated April 28, Dear Madam President, the House passed Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 17, Transportation, with the following amendment, House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 17, Judiciary, an act relating to unlawful possession and vandalism of official traffic control devices, disregard of a highway obstruction, and damages to highways, and transmitting for consideration.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move that the Senate concur in the House amendment to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 17, Transportation, and thus adopting the House version, House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 17, Judiciary.
Is there any discussion?
Question.
Question's been called. The question being, shall the Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 17, thus adopting the House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 17, Judiciary? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. CS for Senate Bill 17. We have concurred in the House amendments, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 17, Judiciary, by a vote of 19 yeas, one unexcused absence. Next House message, please.
Message dated April 28, Dear Madam President, the House has passed Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 282, Community and Regional Affairs, with the following amendment. House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 282, Judiciary, an act relating to municipal sales and use taxes and providing for an effective date and transmitting for consideration.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I move that the Senate concur in the House amendment to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 282, Community and Regional Affairs, and thus adopting the House version, House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 282, Judiciary.
Discussion.
Question.
Question's been called. The question being, shall the Senate concur in the House amendments, thus adopting House CS for Senate Bill 282, Judiciary? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. The Senate has concurred in the House amendments, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 282, Judiciary, by a vote of 19 yeas, one unexcused absence. Mr. Majority Leader, the effective date, sir.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent the vote on the passage of House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 282, Judiciary, be considered a vote in effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call vote on final passage of the House CS for Senate Bill 282, Judiciary, will be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Further messages from the House of Representatives.
Message dated April 28, Dear Madam President, the House has passed the following and transmitted for consideration. Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 44, Rules, and is transmitted for consideration. Excuse me.
This will be referred to the State Affairs Committee, Judiciary, and Finance. Those are the same referrals the bill got on the Senate side.
Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 364, Judiciary, an act relating to commercial fishing violations and providing for an effective date by the Judiciary Committee.
Resources Committee, for a referral on what happened to 25.
There's two messages, Madam President. It's got mixed up here.
It's all right, take your time.
Yeah, I'll go with 25 first here. Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 25, Finance, by the Finance Committee entitled, an act relating to affirmative action and equal opportunity in public employment.
State Affairs Committee.
Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 364, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee entitled, an act relating to commercial fishing violations, providing for an effective date.
This is 368?
No, this is 364.
364 will go to the Resources Committee.
Okay. Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 368, Hess, by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee entitled, an act exempting certain persons from the requirement to be licensed as an occupational therapist or occupational therapy assistant and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, Labor, and Commerce.
Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 371, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee entitled, an act relating to attempted murder in the first degree.
This is the same bill as Senate Bill 352. It'll go to the Judiciary Committee.
Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 549, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee entitled, an act relating to notice requirements in the use of a mortgage or a deed of trust.
Labor and Commerce, Finance Committee.
Those are the messages from the House this morning.
Do we have communications?
There are no communications this morning, Madam President.
Do we have reports of standing committees, please?
Message dated April 27 from the Senate Resources Committee. In accordance with AS 3905080, the Senate Committee on Resources reviewed the attached list with regard to confirmation. There were no stated objections to the confirmation of any of the attached named individuals by committee members. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the individuals during any further sessions for the purpose of consideration. The attached are the Commissioner of the Department of Fish and Game, Don Collingsworth, Alaska Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, Philip Smith, Board of Fisheries, Frederick D. Bud Hodson, Robert A. Lockman, Board of Games, Samantha Castle, Guide Board, Arthur Clark and Peter Buest, Board of Marine Pilots, Captain Harold Elsonson, Mark Foster, Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, William Barnwell. The report was signed by Senator Coghill, Chairman, Senator Paul Fisher, Vice Chairman, and Senators Sturgalewski, Eliason, Duncan, Fanning, and Jaroff. The Finance Committee considered Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 57, Implementation of Local Hire through Improved Cooperation Between Employers and Schools, and recommended due pass. The report was signed by Senator Halford, Co-Chairman, concurring Senators Jaroff, Fisher, Duncan, Hensley, Ewing, and Binkley. There is a new fiscal note attached. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 57 has no further referral.
This will be referred to the Rules Committee for consideration of the calendar, please.
The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill Number 255, Pharmaceutical Medical Assistance for Needy Persons and Providing for an Effective Date, recommended it be replaced with Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 255, Finance, with a new title, and reports it back as follows. Senator Halford, Co-Chairman, and Senators Duncan and Binkley signed due pass. Senators Jara, Fisher, Ewing, and Hensley signed no recommendation. There is a new fiscal note and a letter of intent attached. Senate Bill Number 255 has no further referral.
Rules Committee, please.
The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill Number 273, authorizing gambling enterprises and providing for an effective date. A majority of the committee reported do not pass. Senator Curtula, Chairman, signed do not pass, as well as Senators Sturgalewski, Fakes, Rohde, and Josephson. Senator Joseph has signed no recommendation. Senate Bill number 273 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Judiciary Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill number 185, Finance, amended state loans and providing for an effective date, and recommends it be the Labor and Commerce Senate Committee substitute be adopted. Reports it back as follows. Senator Kurtulis, Chairman, signed no recommendation. Senators Josephson and Sturgiluski signed, do pass. Committee substitute for House Bill number 185, Finance, amended, has a further referral to the Resources Committee. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill number 297, Finance, amended, notification to community councils and nonprofit community organizations of certain state actions. Recommends it be replaced with Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill number 297, CNRA, and reports it back as follows. Senator Sturgiluski, Chairman, and Senator Szymanski sign, do pass. Senator Kelly signed, no recommendation. There are two new zero fiscal notes attached. Committee Substitute for House Bill number 297, Finance, amended, has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill number 306, Hess, Anatomical Gifts, recommends it be replaced with Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill number 306, Hess, and a majority do pass. The report was signed by Senator Fisher, Chairman, concurring Senators Kurtulis and Fanning. There is a new zero fiscal note attached. Committee Substitute for House Bill number 306, Hess, has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Judiciary Committee considered House Bill number 473, amending the composition and membership of the Correctional Industries Commission and providing for an effective date, and a majority of the committee recommended do pass. The report was signed by Senator Kurtulis, Chairman, concurring Senators Sturgiluski and Josephson. House Bill number 473 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Judiciary Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill number 521, Judiciary, open containers of alcoholic beverages in motor vehicles, and reports it back as follows. Senator Kurtulis, Chairman, signed, no recommendation. Senators Sturgiluski and Josephson signed, do pass. Committee substitute for House Bill number 521, Judiciary, has no further referral.
Rules Committee consideration.
The Judiciary Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill number 545, Judiciary, amending crimes relating to sexual assault as they relate to persons who are mentally incapable. And a majority of the committee recommended do pass. The report was signed by Senator Kurtulis, Chairman, concurring Senators Rohde and Sturgiluski. Senator Josephson signed, no recommendation. The committee further recommended the adoption of the House letter of intent. Committee substitute for House Bill number 545, Judiciary, has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill number 548, Resources, Oil Discharge Contingency Plans, recommends it be replaced with Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill number 548, Labor and Commerce, and do pass. The report was signed by Senator Kelly, Chairman, concurring Senators Ewing, Szymanski, and Fahrenkamp. There is a new zero fiscal note attached. Committee substitute for House Bill number 548, Resources, has a further referral to the Resources Committee. The Rules Committee considered Senate Bill number 174, Department of Public Safety's authority to make grants and enter into contracts to carry out the functions of the department and providing for an effective date, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill number 174, Rules, with a new title, a new zero fiscal note, and calendar. The report was signed by Senator Elias and Chairman, concurring Senators Fakes, Hensley, and Jones. Senate Bill number 174 is on today's calendar. The Rules Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution number 66, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska, creating a dedicated fund for the construction and maintenance of roads and highways. A majority of the committee recommended calendar. The report was signed by Senator Elias and Chairman, concurring Senators Jones and Fakes. Senate Joint Resolution number 66 is on today's calendar. The Rules Committee considered Senate Bill Number 292, authorizing compensation for members of the State Local Boundary Commission, and a majority of the committee recommended Gallander. The report was signed by Senator Elias and Chairman concurring Senators Hensley and Fakes. Senate Bill Number 292 is on today's calendar. The Rules Committee considered Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 63, urging the governor to establish the Alaska Railroad Depot at Nenana as the official museum for the Alaska Railroad and a state historical site. Senate Bill Number 459, confidentiality of shellfish stock abundance surveys conducted by the Department of Fish and Game, providing for an effective date. And committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill Number 252, State Affairs, supplemental benefits system and providing for an effective date. And a majority of the committee recommended calendar. The reports were signed by Senator Elias and Chairman, concurring Senators Fakes, Hensley, and Jones. These resolutions and bills are on today's calendar. Those are the standing committee reports this morning, Madam President.
Do we have reports of special committee?
Message dated April 28th and received at 6:10 p.m. Dear Madam President, and Mr. Speaker, the Conference Committee, with limited powers of free conference, considered Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 282, Hess amended, and Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 282, Hess amended Senate, an act relating to smoke detection devices, and recommends that Conference Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 282 be adopted. The report was signed by Senator Joseph Chairman and Senators Sturgiluski and Jones. House members Representative Gruenberg and Representatives Hudson and Kopanen.
This bill will be on our desk for a vote on tomorrow's calendar. Is that correct, Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam President, yes, I was going to make that announcement.
Thank you, sir. Senator Duncan, you were speaking with the floor.
Yes, may we return introduction to guests, please?
Without objection, Senator. The Senate will return to introduction. Yes, Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Madam President. The gallery behind me is the mother of one of our pages, Heather Hansen, her mother, Florence Hansen.
May we continue on with reports from special committees, please?
The Conference Committee report received April 28th at 8:25 a.m. Dear Madam President, Mr. Speaker, the Conference Committee, with limited powers of free conference, considered CS for Senate Bill Number 274, Labor and Commerce, and House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 274, Labor and Commerce, amended House, an act relating to access to employment security records, recommends that Conference CS for Senate Bill Number 274, an act relating to access to employment security records, be adopted. The report was signed by Senator Fehrenkamp, Chairman, Senators Kelly and Hensley, Representative Boyer, Chairman, Representatives Donnelly and Frank. This was read and held yesterday.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move that the Senate adopt the Conference Committee report on 274, thus passing Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill 274.
Is there any discussion? Senator Fehrenkamp.
Madam President, for those of the body, if you would look at their page 2, section 3I, is the addition that came over from the House. We amended that addition to say shall rather than may on the public information as far as those people who are Alaskan residents. And we added the section that said that they report only those with membership over 20 as employees. I urge its adoption.
That was explanation.
Bill number 520 by the Judiciary Committee entitled An Act Relating to Health Insurance and Providing for an Effective Date.
Health, Education, Social Services, Labor and Commerce, Finance. It's a 88-page bill.
That is the only Senate bill for introduction this morning.
I'm glad. It's heavy enough for a whole bunch of them. That brings us down to the consideration of the daily calendar.
Senate Bill number 174 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to the Department of Public Safety's authority to make grants and enter into contracts to carry out the functions of the department and providing for an effective date. State Affairs Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with committee substitutes for Senate Bill number 174, State Affairs, and majority do pass. The report was signed by Senator Boone, Chairman, concurring Senators Euling and Josephson, updated zero fiscal note. Finance Committee considered the bill and majority of the committee recommends the State Affairs Committee substitute be adopted and do pass. The report was signed by Senator Helford, co-chairman, concurring Senators Duncan, Euling, Hensley, Fink, and Jaroff. The Rules Committee considered the bill and the bill was returned to the Rules Committee on the floor on April 27th. The Rules Committee reconsidered Senate Bill number 174 and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill 174 rules, new title, new zero fiscal note and calendar. The report was signed by Senator Elias and Chairman concurring Senators Fakes, Hensley, and Jones. There are two committee substitutes.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 174 rules be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 174 has been adopted by the Senate in lieu of the original bill.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 174 rules by the Rules Committee, an act relating to the Department of Public Safety's authority to award grants that relate to the duties and powers of the Highway Safety Planning Agency and the Division of Fire Protection and providing for an effective date.
Do we have any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill 174 rules be considered engrossed in advance of third reading and placed on final passage. I might note the title change.
Without objection, the Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 174 is before the Senate in final passage with the title change.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 174 rules, an act relating to the Department of Public Safety authority to award grants that relate to the duties and powers of the Highway Safety Planning Agency and the Division of Fire Prevention and providing for an effective date.
Senator Fahrenkamp.
Madam President, I would like to thank the Rules Committee for the changes made to this legislation, I think, by tightening up what the grants are allowed to be made for. They've alleviated a lot of our fears, and I'm very appreciative.
Question has been called. The question being, shall the Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 174 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. The rules CS for Senate Bill 174 has passed the Senate by a vote of 17 yeas, 3 nays. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that vote on the passage of the committee substitute for Senate Bill 174 rules be considered the vote on effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call vote on final passage of committee substitute for 174 rules will be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Madam Secretary, the next item on the calendar, please.
Senate Bill number 459 by Senator Jaroff, an act relating to the confidentiality of shellfish stock abundance surveys conducted by the Department of Fish and Game and providing for an effective date. Resources Committee considered the bill and recommends it, and a majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill number 459 Resources and do pass. The report was signed by Senator Coghill, Chairman, concurring Senators Elias and Sturzelewski, Jaroff, and Fisher, zero fiscal note attached. Finance Committee considered the bill. A majority of the committee recommends the Resources Committee substitute be adopted and do pass. Report was signed by Senator Helford, co-chairman, concurring Senators Duncan, Hensley, Binkley, and Jaroff. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. And report was signed by Senator Elias and chairman, concurring Senators Fakes, Hensley, and Jones. So the Resources CS.
Mr. Resources Chairman, Senator Coghill.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for Senate Bill 459 Resources be
adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Resources Committee substitute for Senate Bill 459 has been adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 459, Resources, by the Resources Committee, an act relating to the confidentiality of crab stock abundance survey information held by the Department of Fish and Game and providing for an effective date.
Any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute Senate Bill 459, Resources, be considered engrossed and advanced to third reading and placed in final passage.
Without objection, the Resources Committee substitute for Senate Bill 459 is before the Senate in third reading for final passage.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 459, Resources, an act related to the confidentiality of crab stock abundance survey information held by the Department of Fish and Game and providing for an effective date.
Discussion. What is the wishes of the body? Question has been called. The question being, shall the Resources Committee substitute for Senate Bill 459 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator fail to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. CS for Senate Bill 459, Resources, has passed the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on the passage of committee substitute for Senate Bill 459, Resources, be considered a vote and effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call vote on the Resources Committee substitute for Senate Bill 459 will be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Madam Secretary, the next item on the calendar.
Senate Bill number 292 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act authorizing compensation for members of the State Local Boundary Commission. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considers the bill, and majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill number 292, CNRA, new title and due pass. The report was signed by Senator Strugulski's chairman, concurring Senator Zharoff and Szymanski, fiscal note attached. Finance Committee considers the bill, and a majority of the committee recommends that the Committee on Regional Affairs, CSB, adopt and reports it back as follows. Senator Helfrich, co-chairman, and Senators Duncan and Hensley signed due pass. Senators Euling and Binkley signed no recommendation. Updated fiscal note attached. Rules Committee considers the bill and recommends calendaring. The report was signed by Senator Elias and chairman, concurring Senators Hensley and Fakes. This is the Committee on Regional Affairs, CS.
Senator Strugulski.
Yes, I would move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of committee substitute for Senate Bill number 292, CNRA.
Without objection, the Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 292 has been adopted by the Senate in lieu of the original bill.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 292, Community and Regional Affairs, by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act authorizing compensation for members of the State Local Boundary Commission and providing for an effective date.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for Senate Bill 292, Community and Regional Affairs, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading and placed in final passage.
Without objection, the Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 292 is before the Senate in third reading for final passage.
Committee.
Let her read the bill, Senator.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 292, CNRA, an act authorizing compensation for members of the State Local Boundary Commission and providing for an effective date.
Senator Strugulski.
Madam President, make very, very brief remarks on this, but the Local Boundary Commission is one of the bodies mentioned in the state constitutional. It has some quasi-judicial responsibilities. This particular bill will authorize the members receiving compensation for their services on the commission. Right now, as you know, we've had a pickup in the number of annexations and also new governments that have been formed. And these members travel oftentimes to kind of remote sites and somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 to 30 days each year. They're people that happen to be on this are citizens who have other careers, and it's a real hardship. The amount of money that we're asking they be paid would be comparable to a couple of other boards that are mentioned in the Constitution, the Board of Fish and Board of Game. As you know, we have a real hodgepodge all the way from no payment up to $400 a day for permanent fund directors, Alaska Railroad, CFAB, $250, occupational state health at $50, and it's a great variety of compensation. I think that should be looked at some time. But in the meantime, it's not fair, I think, to this very hard-working board. They don't receive compensation. I hope you can support the bill. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Fanning.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, I'm going to rise and speak in opposition of the legislation. I think the sponsor of the legislation, or the chairman of the CNRA committee, has enunciated fairly clearly that we have a tremendous hodgepodge of payments to various boards and commissions in this state, and it's becoming to be a tremendous state expense and a growing state expense. Many members of this body had discussed the possibility of introducing legislation, and we were unable to do it because of the time frame of the session, to eliminate that compensation and to allow those who want to serve on various boards and commissions to do so with per diem and travel paid for, but not with with extra pay on a daily basis for serving and participating in activities which they desired to participate in. There's another inconsistency that I see in the legislation, Madam President, in many of the boards and commissions that we have, they receive per diem and travel, but they receive payment for days that they're in meetings. In this particular legislation, you'll notice that members also get, in addition to travel and per diem, $150 a day when they're traveling to or coming from a meeting. So if they're flying out at 9 o'clock in the evening or whatever, they get $150 a day plus travel and per diem, and that's just a waste of state money, in my opinion, Madam President. And I think we do have a serious problem. I think we do need to look at it, and I think the way we can start is by not authorizing additional hodgepodges, additional unfair payments, and come up with some consistent legislation. But to add more legislation which makes our current payment system inconsistent and costs a lot of money to the state, I think is a mistake. And I think in line with the Senate's approach to being fiscally responsible and fiscally conservative, we should vote no on this piece of legislation.
Further discussion? Senator Kelly.
Madam President, a question through the chair to anybody that might know. Are any members of the Local Boundary Commission either federal, state, or local government employees?
Senator Strzelczyk.
Not to my knowledge. I know those members, and not to my knowledge, through the chair. Just like to make one additional comment that the decisions that are made by this board, which again is a quasi-judicial board, affects the distribution of millions of dollars in state assistance. It does require travel to remote areas, a lot of homework involved. If they're not made properly, they end up in court. And it, like the Board of Fish and Board of Game, I think have some very special responsibilities. So I think they are unique. I think we've overlooked them for too long. So I would urge your support.
Further discussion?
Question.
Question has been called. The question being, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 292, Community and Regional Affairs, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, Senator Halford? Does any other senator wish to change their vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. CS for Senate Bill 292, CNRA, has passed the Senate by a vote of 11 yeas, 9 nays. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, move the unanimous consent that the vote on the passage of...
No, sir. Move the effective date.
Madam President.
Yes, sir.
I move and ask unanimous consent.
No, just move the effective date. We have to have
Madam
a roll
President,
call
I
vote
move
on.
The effective date.
Is there any discussion on the movement of the effective date?
Recommend, yes.
Question?
Question has been called. The question being, shall the effective date for committee substitute for Senate Bill 292, Labor and Community and Regional Affairs, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Senator Eliason, could you vote, please, sir? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. The effective date on Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 292 has passed the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas. Senator Fanning.
Give notice of reconsideration of my vote, Senate Bill number 292.
Notice of reconsideration on 292 has been given. Thank you, sir. Next item on the calendar.
Committee substitute for sponsor, substitute for House Bill number 252, State Affairs, by the State Affairs Committee, enacting the supplemental benefits system and providing an effective date. Finance Committee considered the bill and majority of the committee recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Helfrich, co-chairman, concurring. Senators Duncan, Hensley, Binkley, and Jaroff, no fiscal note attached. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. The report was signed by Senator Elias and chairman, concurring. Senators Fakes, Hensley, and Jones.
Senator Abood.
Madam President, I've lost track of where I was.
Sir, we have a State Affairs Committee substitute. Oh, that's a House State Affairs Committee substitute. Sir, you are correct. I am incorrect. Are there any amendments to this bill?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader, I'm sorry.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate substitute for sponsor, substitute for House Bill 252, State Affairs, be considered and grows, advanced to third reading and placed on final passage.
Without objection, the State Affairs Committee substitute for sponsor, substitute for House Bill 252 is before the Senate in final passage. Madam Secretary, read the bill. Senator Abood.
Committee substitute for sponsor, substitute for House Bill number 252, State Affairs, an act relating to the supplemental benefits system and providing for an effective date.
Is there any discussion? Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Madam President. Let me give just a brief explanation of the bill, and perhaps I can answer questions if there are any. The legislation is necessary, Madam President, because of changes, because of the Tax Reform Act of 1986, and because of that act, the supplemental benefit system, which we are all familiar with, must be amended prior to January 1st, 1989, for that system to maintain its status as a qualified tax-exempt package or tax-exempt plan after January 1st, 1989, and that's what this legislation does. It would make the necessary amendments to comply with the Tax Reform Act of 1986 so that the tax-exempt status will be maintained. Under the new Tax Reform Act, or under the Tax Reform Act of 1986, a plan such as this, there can be no employee discretion concerning the amount contributed to the qualified annuity plan. The Department of Administration conducted a survey of public employees, a statewide survey of public employees, to determine what they wanted to do as to the amount that they wanted contributed to the annuity plan. The result of that survey of the employees responding, 84% voted for the maximum contribution that could be made to the annuity account. That's been taken into consideration in this legislation. It is important and necessary to get this through this year so that plan will remain as a tax-exempt plan under the new Tax Reform Act of 86.
Senator, is there further discussion on this bill?
Question
has been called. The question being, shall committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 252, State Affairs, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. CS for sponsor substitute for House Bill 252, State Affairs, has passed the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on the passage of committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 252, State Affairs, be considered a vote on effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call vote on final passage of CS for sponsor substitute for House Bill 252, State Affairs, will be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Moving right along, Madam Secretary, next item on the calendar, please.
Number 66 by Senators Jones, Caulkill, Fakes, Duncan, Herenkamp, and Binkley, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska, creating a dedicated fund for the construction and maintenance of roads and highways. Transportation Committee considered the resolution. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 66, Transportation, and due pass. Attached letter of intent and fiscal note. The report was signed by Senator Jones, Chairman, concurring. Senators Abood, Coghlan, Fahrenkamp. Senator Kelly signed. No recommendation. Finance Committee consider the resolution recommends the Transportation Committee substitute be adopted and reports back as follows. Senator Halford, co-chairman, and Senators Hensley and Jaroff signed. No recommendation. Senators Duncan and Ewing signed. Due pass. Rules Committee consider the bill and recommends calendar. The report was signed by Senator Elias and Chairman, concurring. Senators Jones and Fakes. There's a Transportation Committee substitute.
Senator Jones.
Madam President, I would ask unanimous consent that the Transportation substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 66 be adopted in lieu of the original resolution.
Without objection, the Transportation Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 66 will be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Madam Secretary, read the bill, please.
Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 66, Transportation, by the Transportation Committee, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska, creating a dedicated fund for the construction and maintenance of roads and highways.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 66, Transportation, be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objections, the Transportation Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 66 is before the Senate in final passage. Madam Secretary, read the bill.
Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 66, Transportation, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska, creating a dedicated fund for the construction and maintenance of roads and highways.
Discussion?
Question.
Senator Jones.
Madam President, the resolution, as you can see, proposes a constitutional amendment creating a dedicated fund for highways and puts it to a vote of the people in the next election. This is something that has been talked about for some time. There's certainly a need that has arisen over the past few years. We've built a lot of roads during times of high revenues. We've added miles to our highway system. And then during times of course, tight budgets, we've been reducing that the amount of money that goes out to maintain those roads. And I think last year we heard from what we called the Pothole Coalition, people in our districts that were complaining about roads not being graded, the snow not being removed, and it indicates that we need to assure those people that at least the money that they pay in taxes at the pump and fuel taxes is going to go out there to maintain that road that they're driving on. And this will give them the opportunity to vote to ensure that it does go out there. Over the past few years, I'd like to, Madam President, if I may, quote a report by the National Highway Users Federation. They completed this report it's a 10-month study, and it was just completed early this year. In its report, the Federation argues that Alaska is in critical need of devoting funds for road, highway, and state ferry maintenance. According to the Highway Users Federation study, portions of roads with pavement in very rough condition regarding rideability of pavement have risen 7% since 1986. More importantly, the amount of state roads sporting smooth pavement has fallen by 17% since 1978. The result of increased wear and tear of more vehicles and the increasing lack of maintenance. It goes on, it quotes Lester Lamb, director of the Federation. He says, the simple fact is that if you don't spend more on maintenance water and ice will continue to widen unsealed cracks, and as shoulder erosion and unrepaired pavement edges continue to break up, roads will deteriorate. You could start having paved roads returning to gravel roads soon. So I just want to... want to emphasize that we have a lot of good roads out there. Let's not lose them now. The cost of letting those roads go beyond a certain level of repair, the cost of bringing those back can triple very easily. So let's give the voters a chance to put this motor fuel tax where it should go. Thank you.
I'd like to call the members' attention to the letter of intent in the packet and ask what the disposition of that will be. Senator Olison, you're seeking the floor, sir.
Madam President, I would just like to say that I certainly agree with what the Senator from Ketchikan is trying to do. I would say submit to you that we have the ability to fix those roads today. We have money in the budget to do that if we choose to do so. I certainly don't take lightly the change of the Constitution. I think it's a very serious issue. And in fact, if we're going to create a dedication to the Constitution, I much prefer it to be dedicated to education.
Senator Halford, you were seeking the floor.
Thank you, Madam President. I had some technical questions. One was, what is the definition of motor vehicle? Because it says in the text, the proceeds of a state tax on the transfer or consumption of fuel for motor vehicles. I wonder what the definition of a motor vehicle is in any constitutional sense.
Senator Kelly?
Unless a method is found to begin using the earnings of the permanent fund to operate state government, future legislators sitting in these same seats are going to have even fewer options than we do today to balance the budget. And this legislation is even putting less options in their hands, so I'm not going to support it.
Is there a response on the question? Senator Jones.
Madam President, I think if you want to probably look up in the dictionary, it might tell you what a motor vehicle is. The fuel that you buy at the pump has it may be for if you go up with your motorbike, or if you go up with your car, or if you drive up there with your snowmobile or whatever it is, and you buy it at the pump, and you're operating on the highway, you're going to pay a fuel tax. So, there is a portion of that of the fuel tax that is rebated for off-highway use, and this could be in a motor vehicle. If they're operating off the highway, that's rebated. So, but the definition of motor vehicle could be anything that was propelled by and burns fuel, I guess, for this application.
Senator Halford?
Well, I guess the question was, is a motor vehicle, or does a motor vehicle include boats? Does it include aircraft? Because they aren't always refunded. So that was one question. And the second question I had was, this is dedicated to the construction and maintenance of highways and roads. I wonder what the definitions of highways and roads are, again, in a constitutional sense. And I think it's important that you have this on the record at this point also, if it's intended that it's not to include any tax on fuel used in a boat, any tax on fuel used in an aircraft, and if it is or isn't included intended to include, for example, the marine highway system.
Is the marine highway system a part of the highway system of the state, or is it not?
Senator Coghill.
And Madam President, I'd like to call the good senator's attention to the fact that the Constitution of the state of Alaska does not have a definition section in the appendix of the Constitution, and so I don't think that we have to start putting ourselves into a position of defining everything there. In state law, motor vehicle is defined. I don't have that statute in front of me. We can get it if the good senator wants to debate the issue. The motor fuel tax for aviation is designated in a different section in the statute. I'd like to rise to in support of this resolution, Madam President, and I would like to inform the body that during territorial days we had several dedicated funds. We had the dedicated fund for education. We had the dedicated fund for fish and game. We had a dedicated fund for the highway dedicated fund. In 1961 or 62, I'm not quite sure which year, we fell all of the dedications, and we shouldn't have done that. Constitution provided that the dedicated funds that were in place in territorial days could continue on to be, and we fell them all. It was an error. I think we ought to go back and rectify that. I think one of the areas, Madam President, if you look at the packet that Senator Jones has brought out, that there's 38 of the states that have dedicated funds. 12 of them have, not dedicated funds constitutionally, but they have funds that are identified for that purpose, and our system is a little bit different. The reason why we try to stay away from the dedication of funds is because in territorial days, under our enabling legislation, which was the Organic Act that we had, 1913, establishing the government for the territory, they prohibit us from doing certain things, and so the only way we could get at funding certain portions was to have those dedicated funds go towards those particular programs. I think that this is a good bill. I think that this will then give us a foundation to be able to say to the people on the hillside in Anchorage and to the people in the rural areas of some of the communities that have got thousands and thousands of dollars dedicated or appropriated to them for building roads, and there's no structure out there. That's the reason why roads is in here, is because there's an awful lot of urban roads or rural roads around the communities that haven't got any structure of how to maintain them. And when we had lots of money, we built roads all over the place. And this, I think, is the first step towards putting a structure together where that everybody will pay into the fund and that we can start recognizing that system. If you take a look at the hodgepodge that we have in our road system, we have seven systems of roads in the state, and we've got to start tying that together. This is the first step.
Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to withdraw my name as a co-sponsor under Senate Joint Resolution Number 66.
Without objection, Senator Binkley will be withdrawn as a co-sponsor on Senate Joint Resolution Number 66. Senator Eliason.
Madam President, once again, we're not gaining any money by passing this. The money's there. We have it in general fund. So we can fix those roads. We're not creating any new funds. We're just using the money we have. And if we want to use it, why don't we use it? Why should we pass a constitutional amendment requiring us to use it? Use it now.
Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm going to support this resolution. After looking at the DOT budget for the last 2 years, I think it's a step in the right direction. As a senator from Nenana had mentioned, there are numerous other states around the country that do have dedicated funds, and I think we're going to have to go in that direction. I think there's a call out there by the people that they want those roads and highways improved, and they want to see some direction for when they fill up at the gas pump, that 8 cents or so that they're putting in their tank that they're paying in taxes is going to actually go for road improvements. Now, this isn't going to be the solve everything kind of constitutional amendment, but at least it's going to get us in that direction to start using that money toward the roads and highways. Also, I think it's very clear on line 25 that this particular money would be appropriated specifically for construction and maintenance of highways and roads in the state. In the state. So it's highways and roads. I think it's very specific.
Senator Alford?
Well, I just wanted to go back, I guess, to the sponsor and make sure that it is his intent and that be in the record in the consideration of this legislation, that the definition be essentially land, highway, vehicle, fuel taxes to land, roads, if that's what we're talking about. If we're talking about the marine highway system, if it can be used to build a ferry boat, I'd like to know that that's the intent one way or the other. I'd like to know that if it's the definition of motor vehicles in state law today, that's fine. I just think it should be part of the established record in the consideration of this amendment.
Senator Jones?
Madam President, to the Senator from Eagle River, yes, it is land, vehicles, and it's hard link roads. The marine highway system is not included in these road miles. It can't be. I think that in the interim, something that myself as the Transportation Committee Chairman, we will be looking at different fuel taxes and different ways of making sure that maintenance and operations of the marine highway system are also an important part of the transportation budget, and that the marine fuel tax is another area that we have $4.6 million into that this past year, and it's not going out to the purpose that it's meant to be, is out there to maintain some of our harbors and ports. And I think that's something else we need to look at. But it is land, vehicles, and it is the hard link roads.
Senator Fearnkamp?
Madam President, that creates a problem in my mind with that response, in that the state of Alaska, as well as the federal government, recognizes the marine highway as part of our highway system. That was done through the efforts of one of our U.S. Senators, Senator Mike Rebell, some time ago, so that we could use federal monies for our marine highway. So I think that needs to be rethought.
So further discussion. Senator Coggio?
Well, Madam President, in response to the good senator from Fairbanks, I don't believe that it has any effect on the marine highway system as being a part of the highway system of the state of Alaska. This has to do with consumers, users of motor vehicles, and it does not have anything to do with the vessels. The vessel, being state-owned vessels, are of course exempt from the marine motor fuel tax. So I don't think that reads into the way that I heard her.
Senator Fanning.
Madam President, I speak in favor of the resolution as well. I think that it is a good idea. The senator from Sitka pointed out that the funds are available in the general fund today, and if legislators see fit, they can appropriate. The one inequity, of course, that this resolution would help to solve or work in a direction to solve is that those who are not utilizing the system would less likely be paying for it, and through dedicated fees and motor tax fees on highways, those who are not utilizing that and are not paying that tax would less likely be paying for the service and the highway construction and maintenance that's needed. I'd also like to address, and I think that's very comparable with fish and game license fees as a dedicated fund, fish taxes as dedicated funds going directly to enhancement of fishery resources and ports. And so I think that
think that that is a logical direction for us to move in our budgeting processes. And I would also like to respond that I don't in any way see that this particular legislation would bind future legislators or cause them additional problems in balancing the budget. This doesn't take anything away from what we always will have and future legislators will always have as the greatest and the most obvious method of balancing the budget, and that is to reduce state spending. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Madam President. I don't have the exact figures here, but in discussing it with the co-chairman of finance, it's my understanding that the actual money generated from this highway fuel tax is about half of what we actually spend on highway maintenance. And so what we may in effect have, Madam President, some people may use this, if it were to pass, as an argument that we should cut the amount of money spent on highways and maintenance in Alaska. And so it may in effect have the opposite effect that we're trying to achieve here.
Senator Kelly.
Madam President, I'll tell you what will happen if this passes. AGC will be down here every year trying to raise the motor fuels tax. It's that simple.
Senator Curtula.
I think, President, I think Senator Kelly has made a good point. I really think that we'll eventually get in a position where we'll probably double the gasoline tax in order to support the highways. That's exactly what this will lead to.
Well, the House of Representatives has already attempted to do that. Senator Eliason?
Madam President, I guess it does bother me a little bit that the senator from Fairbanks mentioned the fact that there was legislation in the United States Congress which allowed the state of Alaska to use their tax, fuel tax money that the federal government gives the state on the Marine Highway, along with the other highways within the state. Now, we're passing a constitutional amendment which prohibits us from using those funds we collect within the state to use on the Marine Highway. So I think that's a little inconsistent. That sort of bothers me.
Further discussions?
Question?
Senator Coghill.
No. Madam President, I believe that the good senator from Sitka is wrong, is that this is a state motor fuel tax. The federal motor fuel tax is a user's fee. Both of them are user fees. They're not charged by the mileage that you go on the Marine Highway system. You fill up your tank and you drive your car on the ferry and you get transported to the next port where you want to get off. It doesn't have anything to do with the tax structure. The thing that the good senator from Fairbanks was talking about is that it became a mileage part of the system. And it's part of our system as far as allocation funds are concerned from the federal trust fund.
Senator Jones.
Madam President.
I'd like to also address the issue about the Marine Highway system. We have program receipts there in that system. If we want to dedicate those, I guess we could, but this is taxes on fuel that's being burned on the highways, the hard link highways, and that's what we're now allowing the people, through this resolution, allowing the people of Alaska to vote on the issue if they want that money spent on highways and nothing else. Thank you.
Question. Madam President. Senator Coghill.
We got a letter of intent.
Yes, sir. What
Move
do
the
we...
letter of intent and ask unanimous consent.
The Senate letter of intent from the Transportation Committee has been moved. Do we hear an objection?
Purpose of finding it. I don't see one
it's
here.
It's the last one in your packet. It's the last page in your packet on this bill, right before the next bill. It's behind page 2249. Yes, it is. It's there. Senate.
Would the clerk or the secretary please read the letter of intent?
It is in the intent of the legislature that ongoing research related to road building materials, products, and equipment is considered a necessary component of construction and maintenance of roads in the state of Alaska.
Senator Coghill.
I moved the letter of intent.
The reason for the letter of intent was because there was a question raised in committee by both the federal and the state highway people as to they think that the appropriated by the legislature for the construction and maintenance, and it's just saying that is a component of the construction part of what we're talking about.
Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Madam President. This concerns me a little bit. I think that we're talking about this whole constitutional amendment in light of the fact that we're going to have people out there filling potholes and fixing the roads. But here in the letter of intent, we seem to be saying, no, you can actually spend the money on having a group of bureaucrats sitting in offices someplace working on designs and new research related to road rebuilding materials and whatnot. So that concerns me a little bit that we're not actually going to be spending this money out there fixing the roads themselves.
Senator Hensley, you are seeking the floor.
Madam President, everybody seems to be having their say on this thing, and I didn't want to be left out.
We were doing so well for 45 minutes. Senator Hensley.
Well, I've been doing everything I could to be positive towards this piece of legislation, but the more the proponents talk, the learier I get. And, of course, my concern happens to be with this huge rural district that I represent, and I'm not so sure if it's going to really promote the improvement of our few roads that we have or not. I'm not exactly a proponent of, major links, between communities, but we went through the capital budget yesterday on this humongous highway program that we have of $100 or $150 million a year, and we don't seem to figure out a way to just take care of the few small roads that we do have in our communities. And it seems to me that I know that in the calculation of this allocation to the state that we take in the entire state and its acreage. And if I am convinced that this plan would help maintain those few roads that we have, I think I'd be willing to vote for it. And we are spending multi-millions of dollars on our highways, and we're virtually tearing up our two major cities in widening the roads and buying rights of way. And it seems that our strategy is to permit the roads to deteriorate so they can be reconstructed. And if the proponents convince me that this is indeed going to be a benefit to our small communities who would like to be able to go from one end of town to the other without disappearing in one of our large holes, I might vote for it.
We have the letter of intent before us. It has been moved. Is there further discussion on the letter of intent?
Has been asked.
There has been objection.
Question.
The question being, shall the letter of intent be adopted by the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. The letter of intent, yes, Senator Abboud.
It went a little faster. I'd like to change my vote.
Senator Abboud would like to change their vote. We've done it already. We'll do it again. I need to void that vote. We will vote again. You ready? The question being, shall the letter of intent for CS for SJR 66 transportation pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. The letter of intent has passed by a vote of 14 yeas, 5 nays. We have the bill before us. CS for Senate Joint Resolution Number 66, Transportation. We are under debate and discussion. Senator Eliason.
Madam President, let me see if I can get this straight now. What we're doing, we're dedicating constitutionally the taxes we receive on fuel tax to the road systems to guarantee that we will spend that money on repairing or building new roads. But we're spending twice as much as we're getting now to do the job. So by passing this constitutional amendment, which creates this dedicated fund, we have the possibility of people saying, well, look, we've only set aside this amount of money, half of what we're spending now, so that's all we're going to spend. So I really question the need or value of this constitutional amendment. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Further discussion. Senator Abood.
Ma'am, would point out to the body that this is just a bill to put it in front of the people to vote on a constitutional amendment to do the very thing the bill says.
Senator Szymanski.
I just want to thank that the distinguished senator for his articulate, compelling, and forceful, compassionate remarks associated with it, an excellent description of the bill. And because of that, I will be supporting the bill, and I appreciate his insight on it.
Question.
Further discussion.
Question.
The question being, this takes 14 votes. The question being, shall committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 66, Transportation, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. You have to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Madam Secretary, may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote?
I do, Madam President.
Does any other senator wish to change their vote? Madam Secretary, may record the vote. CS for Senate Joint Resolution Number 66, Transportation, has passed the Senate by a vote of 15 yeas, 5 nays. Senator Eliason.
Madam President, move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on the passage of committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 66, Transportation, be considered a vote on the effective date clause.
We don't have an effective date clause on a constitutional amendment, Senator. The people have to vote. Senator Kelly.
Reconsideration on my vote of SJR, whatever it is.
Notice of reconsideration for CS for Senate Joint Resolution Number 66, Transportation, has been given. Good try there, Eliason. Next item on the calendar, please. It's a good practice.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 63 by the Resources Committee urging the Governor to establish the Alaska Railroad Depot at Nenana as the official museum for the Alaska Railroad and the State Historical Site. Transportation Committee considered the resolution and majority of the committee recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Jones, Chairman, concurring Senators Abood, Coghill, and Fahrenkamp. Zero fiscal note. Finance Committee waived referral. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. The report was signed by Senator Eliason, Chairman, concurring Senators Fakes, Hensley, and Jones.
Amendments, discussion, debate. No, Senator Szymanski. Sure. Senate will stand at ease. The Senate will come back to order. We have Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 63. How many senators do we have on the floor?
11.
We have Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 63 before us. Senator Curtula.
President of the Senate, there are a number. This statement that Nenana is the only depot remaining from the original railroad system. It may be the only depot remaining as a depot, but I suspect there are a number of buildings that are along the railroad track that were former depots that were built in that same time frame, stretching from Seward to Fairbanks. Anyway, this may be desirable, may not be desirable from a standpoint, but I know my area at Wasilla definitely is interested in the same sort of thing. So I'm just wanting to, I want to listen very carefully the proponent of this legislation to see why I certainly, why I should support this particular thing based on merit.
Senator Coggio?
Well, Madam President, the Alaska Railroad Depot in Nenana is the only standing original depot that was constructed during the construction of the Alaska Railroad under the tutelage of the Alaska Engineering Commission. The depot that the good senator from the Mat-Su Valley is talking about was built in the 20s. It was built later. It wasn't built during that time. There was actually seven depots that were built at that time that were a part of the original structure of the railroad. The one at Seward was lost to the tidal wave and the earthquake. The one in Anchorage was replaced back in the late 30s. The one in Fairbanks was replaced in the reconstruction of the railroad in the early 60s. This resolution is basically establishing that depot, the depot structure, and I've got a picture of it downstairs in my office, that was built in 1918. It was the depot is where the monument is, where Harding drove the Golden Spike in 1923. It's the site of the location of the transfer of the railroad from the federal government to the state government in 1985, and it has great historical because it is the original structure. This will put it on the historical. It will make it a state historical site, which gives us some benefits as far as federal programs are concerned. It's already on the historical register, and we're not taken from the Railroad Museum in Palmer. We're asking that this be dedicated as the official Alaska Railroad Museum, not as the Transportation Museum, so that we can get certain artifacts and certain historical documents out of Washington, D.C. and back into Alaska. And the only way we can do it is through this type of a vehicle. And so I don't think that it doesn't have a fiscal note. The community of Nenana is very much in favor of it, and it will be an enhancement to the tourist industry that we have in Alaska.
Senator Halper.
Thank you, Madam President. There's only a couple of words in here which essentially make this resolution exclusive to Nenana, and I'm just wondering whether the sponsor of the resolution needs those words. For example, the only remaining depot, and as the official museum for the Alaska Railroad and State Historical Site. I have no problems with providing that Nenana get, you know, all the benefits that it can get, but I have a problem with saying that this is going to be the one, and then the interaction that happens between all the other communities in Nenana on that basis.
Well, Madam President.
Senator Coggio.
The good senator from the Eagle River area. It is the only depot that's remaining. It's the only original depot that was constructed during the Alaska Railroad construction in 1918 to 1923. It's the only existing building that's a depot. Now, I don't understand why there's anything wrong with that, and to dedicate it as the official museum for the Alaska Railroad, they don't have any problem. I talked to Jim Blassingame, and he was delighted because this will bring back a lot of things into Alaska that we've lost.
Further discussion? Question has been called. The question being, shall Senate concurrent resolution number 63 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 63 has passed the Senate by a vote of 13 yeas, 3 nays, and 4 unexcused absences.
Citations honoring Janet Beard by Senators Fahrenkamp, Fanning, Binkleker, Tula Halford, Representative Boyer, honoring Robert E. Burke, University of Washington, historian dedicated to promoting Alaska history by Senators Fahrenkamp, Fanning, Binkley, and Kurtula, honoring Garrett Wolf, Class 4 State Gymnastics Champion by Representatives Menard, Larson, Navarre, Senators Fisher, Kurtula, honoring Rebecca Tyson Smith by Representatives Ulmer, Hudson, Senators Duncan, Binkley, Kurtula, Stojalewski, honoring Nancy Rossi, Alaska School Counselor of the Year by Representatives Herman, Collins, Menard, Pierce, Senator Jara, Fisher, Binkley, Stojalewski, Kurtula, honoring Moses Dirks, Alaska Bilingual Educator of the Year by Representatives Herman, Menard, Pierce, Senator Jara, Fisher, Binkley, Stojalewski, Kurtula, in memoriam Billy Carroll Donahue by Senators Fahrenkamp, Fanning, Binkley, in memoriam Kenneth E. Cannon by Senators Josephson, Ewing, Stojalewski, Halford, in memoriam Lena Johnson by Representative Herman, Senators Zaroff and Binkley, in memoriam Martha Neck by Representatives Herman, Menard, Senator Jara, Binkley, and Stojalewski.
Discussion on the citations. Senator Halford.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to be added to the Rossi citation.
Nancy Rossi citation. Without objection, Senator Halford will be shown as a co-sponsor on the Nancy Rossi citation. Is there further discussion, Senator Hensley?
Madam President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be added as a co-sponsor on the Moses Dirks resolution.
Moses Dirks citation. Without objection, Senator Hensley will be shown as a co-sponsor on the Moses Dirks citation. Is there further discussion on the citations? Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations on today's calendar have been approved. This brings us to unfinished business. Is there unfinished business? Senator Fisher.
Thank you, Madam President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the referral to House Committee be waived for House Bill 534, and that's the bill extending the termination date of the Board of Dispensing Opticians. It still has a further referral to Finance.
Without objection, the referral on House Bill 534 dealing with the termination date of extension of the dispensing opticians has been waived from Health, Education, Social Services and will proceed on to the Finance Committee. Senator Coghill.
Madam President, I have two waivers that I would like to make.
Two waivers?
Like move and ask unanimous consent that House Joint Resolution 38 Hess relating to radon be waived. The referral be waived from the Resources Committee. Last March, Resources Committee heard this and had a presentation on it. So we wish to waive the referral of committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 38 Hess relating to radon.
Without objection, the referral to the Resources Committee of House Joint Resolution Number 38 relating to radon will be waived from the Resources Committee.
Madam President.
Yes.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill 185, Labor and Commerce, an act repealing certain state loan programs and provisions of certain state loan programs, creating a special foreclosure expense account. Do I have to read this whole title?
Yes, sir. It's 185,
making
right?
Miscellaneous changes to the Fisheries Enhancement Loan Program, comma, the Alaska World War II Veterans Loan Program, comma, the Mining Loan Program, comma, the Outdoor Recreational, comma, Open Space, comma, the Historical Properties Development Program, comma, the Children's Care Facility Loan Program, comma, the Alternative Energy Revolving Loan Program, comma, the Residential Energy Conservation Program, comma, the Tourist Revolving Loan Program, comma, the Small Business Revolving Loan Program, comma, and the Historical District Revolving Loan Program, providing for an effective date. I wish
you
to
wish
waive
that
it from
referral
the,
to be waived from the Resources
yes, ma'am.
Committee.
Yes, ma'am.
Without objection, objection, the referral for CS for House Bill 185 Finance amended will be waived from the Resources Committee dealing with a variety of state loan programs, changes, and eliminations thereof. I don't have the whole title, and he didn't give me advance warning. So, Senator Halford.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the referral of House Bill 534 dispensing opposition to the Finance Committee be waived.
Has that bill had a hearing in the Senate?
Nope. Madam President,
Senator
if the substantive committee on the bill is not going to hear it and waive it to the Finance Committee, which has most of the bills left in the session for hearing, the Finance Committee is not going to hear it. And the Rules Committee can hear it if they choose.
Senator
Labor and Commerce heard the bill.
Labor and Commerce heard the bill. Thank you, sir, very much. And there's a committee report from Labor and Commerce on the bill. Without objection, the referral on House Bill 134 dealing with the extension of the dispensing opticians will be waived from the Finance Committee. Senator Eliason? Yes, sir. Senate will stand at ease. Senate will come back to order, please. We are under unfinished business. Is there further unfinished business? Senator Hensley?
Yes, Madam President. I move to bring up my reconsideration on Committee Substitute for House Bill 245.
Reconsideration on CS for House Bill 245 Judiciary is before us at this time.
Committee Substitute for House Bill 245 Judiciary, inoculating the permanent fund dividends for individuals incarcerated after conviction for a felony and providing for an effective date before the Senate on reconsideration.
Discussion.
Madam President, I would move that we revert to second reading for purposes of a specific amendment.
Without objection, the Senate will revert to second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment on CS for House Bill 245.
Amendment number one by Senators Hensley, Zemanski, Rohde, and Josephson, page 1, line 12, after section, insert unless the individual assigns a dividend to a dependent.
Senator Hensley.
Yes, Madam President, I move the adoption of the amendment.
Objection.
Yes. Madam President, following yesterday's consideration of this bill, Senator Zemanski and myself met to search for a means that would allow a wife or a child of a jail felon to receive the prisoner's dividend. And after we worked with our legislative legal services, we settled on the language that's in front of you. And we believe that by definition, a dependent could be defined by regulation, but it could include an aged parent or wife or a child. And Madam President, I perfectly understand what the sponsors of the legislation are proposing to do. There is an element, I believe, of a concern that we have. There's nothing to condone what these felons might have done, but there are also parties involved that are innocent. These could be children, spouses, or parents that need the support that might generally have gone to the convicted felon. So I would urge the adoption of the amendment.
Senator Szymanski.
Thank you, Madam President. I just wanted to follow up on that by indicating that when we did meet with Tam Cook, the drafter of both the bill and the amendment, we specifically asked her to look at the constitutional side of this, and the question is to jeopardizing the legislations before us. In the previous attempts to deal with this, it was declared unconstitutional, not based on the provision that we have here, but on a provision which originally was to allow the subtraction from the permanent fund dividend of room and board, and it was a mandatory provision, and there was also a child support enforcement provision that was mandated, and it was based on that that it was originally found to be unconstitutional. Because it's an optional provision, the way it's drafted, Tam Cook has indicated that she certainly feels it would follow any scrutiny and it would survive any scrutiny in its current form. And I move the body to favorably adopt it and move the bill along. Thank you.
Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Madam President. Two questions, I guess, to the sponsors of the amendment. One, is there an amount of the gate money? We say that the payment as gate money to convicted felons when released, do we know? Do I have the wrong? Oh, excuse
amendment
me, Madam President.
Amendment number one, sir, has been moved.
Okay.
Amendment number one.
Excuse
Senator
me.
Halford?
Madam President, I call the Senate.
Senate has been called. We can continue debate. Is there further debate on number one? Senator Fanning.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, I reluctantly rise in opposition to amendment number one for a series of reasons. I guess probably the most significant of which is that that I too just spoke to the drafter of this amendment, and I certainly didn't get the interpretation at all that the previous speaker gave from her about whether or not this is or would withstand any kind of constitutional challenge. In fact, I very definitely got that that there is a very serious legal question which she could not, in a short period of time, issue us a written ruling on relative to the fact that this amendment does specifically create at least two, if not three, different classes of felons, and thereby, in so doing, creates some serious legal and constitutional questions. It creates an income tax question wherein a person who did not receive an income would of course, be liable for a tax. But even additional to that, it creates situations where there are, of course, felons who do not have dependents, and it creates situations where there are felons who have dependents, and yet those dependents may be other than the dependents that that felon has for whom child support payments and other payments may currently be directed and demanded by the courts, and yet that's not where the money would go if the felon chose to assign those rights to a different dependent. And the language here, of course, does not distinguish at all between these varying dependents. So because of the potential constitutional questions, and I'm not certain that it would withstand or would not withstand, and a constitutional challenge, and I got the very distinct impression that the drafter of the amendment was not also not certain whether it would or would not withstand that. But additionally, because I don't think that it solves the problem that folks were discussing, or members on this floor, including myself, had some concern about, and that is relative to the deprivation of those who were legally owed child support payment, this amendment doesn't necessarily solve that. And for that reason, that I think we should vote no on the amendment. I do think that we should look into the question further and in separate legislation try to accommodate the legitimate concerns that were raised on this floor at a later date.
Senator Ewing, we are on debate on amendment number one for CS for House Bill 245 Judiciary for those members who are struggling in. The call has not yet been satisfied. Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Madam President. I speak against the amendment. It's my understanding that the dependent or child, as all children throughout the state, would get their own dividend anyway. And all this would, I don't know, all this would seem to do would be to assign that dividend to a dependent. It seems like this particular amendment would sort of circumvent the intent of the whole bill.
Senator Curtula.
President, Senate. Weighing it out, I certainly favor a minor dependent being the recipient of the support. I think we do throw those people often upon the welfare rolls, and I'm not certain that it isn't an intelligent utilization of the fund if it goes to a minor dependent.
Senator Abood?
Sometimes in insurance cases where the father will take out an insurance policy on the child, an endowment, if you will. And at the end of that time, there's probably $4,000 to $6,000 in the policy, and then it becomes money. It's no longer insurance, and therefore it has to be paid to the a beneficiary being the child for schooling, or it has to be paid back to the parent for schooling, and that's what it was designed for. Call it college education fund. So many times, because of their lifestyle or whatever you want to call it, this money is used by the parents. The child doesn't have a chance to get that money in his hands. Now, what assurance do we have that if this dividend is paid to a dependent, that when that felon gets out, he won't just take that money? Now, maybe he's in for 3 years. There's 3 years' dividends that's going to be set aside and given to the dependent. And all he's got to do is say, look, you touch that money in your history. And then when he gets out, he's going to get that money. We haven't done a cotton-picking thing. Secondly, these are felons you're talking about. Now, if he didn't care enough about his family to start with, I find it difficult for me to care about his family. Perhaps he should have thought twice. Perhaps it ought to be a deterrent for him to commit the crimes that he's committed against the society that we live in. I'm sorry, I have no sympathy for it.
Senator,
and I'm going to vote against the amendment.
Senator Hensley?